This edition of the Arts Review was first broadcast on the 12th of February 2016 on Monocle 24.
Welcome to the Monocle Arts Review with me, Gillian Tobias. Today, I'm joined by film critic Jason Solomons for our weekly roundup of what's on at the cinema. We shine our critical spotlight on Tom McCarthy's newsroom drama Spotlight, Luca Guadagnino's psychosexual drama A Bigger Splash, and Ben Stiller and Owen Wilson strutting their stuff in Zoolander 2. That's all to come on today's edition of the Monocle Arts Review. Stay tuned. Director Tom McCarthy has recently released his Oscar-nominated film Spotlight, in which we discover the Boston Globe newspaper's exposé of the child abuse scandal in 2002 and the cover-up within the Catholic community. This newsroom drama stars Michael Keaton, Rachel McAdams, and Mark Ruffalo as the investigative journalist who lifted the lid on the shocking case. Jason, welcome to the show. To start off with, let's talk a little bit perhaps about how Spotlight covers the investigation.
That's right. It very methodically puts it together. In fact, it kind of makes the Spotlight is the name of the investigative team of the Boston Globe, much like in the UK Sunday Times, we're called Insight. They were called Spotlight. And they'd actually sort of investigated this case previously. It was only when a new editor comes into the paper, who's Ben Bradley's son, from, of course, Ben Bradley, played by Jason Robards in All the President's Men, is now played by a different cast. But Liev Schreiber comes into this. And the crucial thing is that he's not a Bostonian. He's not Irish. He's not Catholic. He's Jewish from elsewhere. And he pushes this story of abuse that's happened before on a priest and pushes the Spotlight team to kind of investigate further, which they do in painstaking fashion. What I quite like about the film is that it makes the job of journalism look very thorough but very unglamorous. It's all about the photocopier not working, and going out and knocking on doors.
Well, and we have to remember the times, 2002, so things were on microfiche and there were newspapers.
I love a microfiche. It's just something so cinematic.
There's
about
a wonderful period feeling about it, isn't there?
I know, it's not that long ago.
I know.
Pleased to see a newsroom functioning and full of people. I do like me a journalism drama, especially when this one doesn't do all the kind of flashy stuff. It's not kind of sitting in a big black van, like listening to Bugged kind of things. It's kind of painstaking work here. And I really like the way that all the cast play that and they're going after their story. So in the way that they painstakingly build their case, so does Tom McCarthy's script and direction painstakingly build its case. I mean, it's a film that builds and builds and builds to a climax that will leave you outraged and shattered and shouting at the screen. And that's the way it should be, I think. It's a film that kind of lands with a thump like the old newspapers used to do with a front page expose. Boom!
Absolutely. Well, let's hear what the film sounds like. Here's a clip.
I'm hoping we can keep this between us until we all get on the same page.
Is that why we're here, to get on the same page?
We've got two stories here. A story about degenerate clergy and a story about a bunch of lawyers turning child abuse into a cottage industry. Which story do you want us to write? Because we're writing one of them.
A clip from Tom McCarthy's movie Spotlight. You mentioned that the film avoided a lot of the whiz-bang sort of special effects that can often come with movies about investigative journalism and topics. I think what really shines are the performances that are so measured. Can you talk a little bit about the cast?
That's right. I mean, it's won ensemble awards on the build up to the Oscars. I mean, it's kind of hard to sort of separate who shines most in it. Michael Keaton has won awards. Rachel McAdams has got as the only girl in the room, to be honest with you, has got an Oscar nomination for her role, which I think she has a great scene in there, which kind of boils down to a great Oscar clip. Not much else. Mark Ruffalo is kind of dishevelled and kind of earnest and kind of trying to. The problem with it when you have a movie like this sometimes is that it's so kind of on the page, but it's written on the page and it hasn't got the whiz bang, that you let the actors do the whizzing and the banging. And sometimes they can tick and they can ham it up a little bit much. They think they're in a rather, it's not a great, not a great set. They're often in a room sitting on a table, around a table, poring over papers. The temptation is to kind of talk it up a bit. And I do think that some of the performers do go to that way, but then they've got themselves noticed. I mean, Ruffalo is kind of good at that stuff. And he's, it's got, what I like about Spotlight, it's got a very old-fashioned kind of Hollywood liberal credentials. You know, it's about stuff. It's about finding stuff out and making you outraged and kind of rattling sabers. And, you know, there was a cover-up. I mean, it could be an Erin Brockovich-style corporate malfeasance drama, but it's not. It's about, you know, religion. It's about the church. It's about law. It's about how Boston itself is run, these dioceses and parishes. I think it very cleverly kind of builds up a picture from a newsroom. It kind of does what a reporter does when he gets on the first beat. He goes out and he kind of discovers the region, discovers the makeup of the area. And that's what we do as the audience. It's very clever like that. And that for that reason, to sound like someone on Dragon's Den, for that reason, it's my favourite to win the best picture at the Oscars.
I have a weakness because of my profession for films like All the President's Men and Good Night and Good Luck. I adore this film. Will it interest people who aren't involved in journalism or the media?
Well, it'll certainly interest people who were involved in the Catholic Church in some religious way, which is quite a few people. It'll introduce people who were victims in some way. I think it kind of makes a great case, like you. I'm a journalist brought up in a newsroom. You know, it makes a great case for kind of journalism and the continuing need for it and the continuing need for it done properly. So I think for that reason, it's very exciting to see it kind of, you know, and to see everyone kind of played quite well. I love All the President's Men. Of course, this is often compared to that. And I think that's a sort of, it's a comparison because it's in the same genre, but it's not the same pace. It isn't about a sort of shady meetings in a car park. There isn't a kind of enemy here. It's a very nebulous enemy. And that's what's sort of clever about the movie. It doesn't give you the immediate kind of, you know, heft of Watergate, but it does give you a sort of sense of moral outrage as much as you know, a personal space outrage. Stanley Tucci pops up as a great kind of you know, lawyer as well. So you know, if from that point of view, watching the cast kind of ruffle in, dishevelled, and kind of after late nights drinking coffee, you know, often it's a drama about, you know, whether to go to the editor with this story or whether the photocopying is out of toner, and to make a drama out of that and make it count and make you feel on the edge of your seat is really some skill. So I think it's a terrific piece of work. I think it's a kind of classic kind of indie movie, which Tom McCarthy has done before in The State Agent, The Visitor, blown up, though, like in The Microfiche, and given a big Hollywood treatment.
Well, in my view, Spotlight is a must. It's now showing on screens worldwide, so do look out for it in cinemas near you. Next on today's list, we have a bigger splash, Luca Guadagnino's latest film based on the 1969 French classic La Piscine. This film sees Tilda Swinton playing a famous rock star recovering from throat surgery on holiday with her dashing filmmaker boyfriend when they're interrupted by an old friend and his daughter, played by Ralph Fiennes and Dakota Johnson. The story unravels into one of sex, jealousy and betrayal. Before we talk about this film, let's hear a clip from A Bigger Splash.
The world is not ready for your honesty.
What's the point of Paul in your life anymore?
You don't deserve either of them.
I fall in love with every pretty thing.
You don't want to do this.
I love you.
You're obscene.
Everyone's obscene. That's the whole point.
She is the woman of the century. Now look what I've done.
A clip from the movie A Bigger Splash. Now this, we mentioned, is a remake of La Piscine. How does the director take the film and run with it? How close is it to the original?
I mean, I think the original basically is the inspiration for it. It's Swimming Pool. We've already had Francois Ozon did Swimming Pool, so they couldn't just do La Piscine. They had to change it. So they use Hockney's kind of swimming pool and use the title A Bigger Splash. So, you know, it's got a swimming pool in it. It's got a holiday in it, really. And it has, you know, you said sex, betrayal, jealousy. There's murder in there too, or something like that. Everything you need on a summer holiday, perhaps without the murder. But you know, I think we've all been on summer holidays where, you know, you're having a nice time, and you're there with the person you wanted to go away with, and then suddenly someone shows up, and you go, oh God, does he have to come? Is he going to really sleep on the sofa for a night? This drunk, you know, and Ralph finds his Harry is just that kind of person. You're like, oh no, he's shattering my idyll. He's making a splash in my calm pool by my beautiful villa in Pantelleria, Sicily. So you know, I love films like this. And I loved this film from like the third shot. I was like, I'm with you. I want to go there. I want to be with these people. Nightmares as they are, kind of, you know, reaping with kind of haute bourgeoisie boho media privilege. Yet it's also got something at the edge of that island, a little particular political kind of substrata, because Pantelleria, like its famous neighbor Lampedusa, is kind of, you know, at the moment kind of, you know, suffering waves of African refugees on the shores, and that's used here as well. they're kind of in internment camps, and some of them are kind of wandering around the island using as threats. So it's about white privilege in that sense as well. I thought this was really clever and beautifully done and very funny as well. We heard that in the clip of the Rolling Stones in the background. Ray Fiennes is a record producer who's worked with the Rolling Stones. In fact, kind of gives us his rendition of Emotional Rescue and dances around. I mean, Tilda Swinton's fabulous in it as a rock star. She doesn't speak. She whispers. She's recovering from throat surgery. So she gives this mute performance, but is still totally Tilda Swinton. I thought this was really stylish. All the clothes are by Raf Simons. She's in vintage Dior, and everyone kind of wears their kind of stylishness lightly. It's sexy, it's hot, it's summery. I loved it.
You mentioned before, a little earlier, the bourgeoisie and stylishness. Now, of course, Tilda Swinton has worked with the director before in one of my favourite films, I Am Love. Tell us a bit about the director and why he's good for this.
Yes, film. I mean, I Am Love, you absolutely nailed it. A great film set in the Milanese bourgeoisie. Aristocracy, really. A film with, you know, great cutlery, great sideboards. You want to just live in that house, right? That it's actually a museum in Milan. But this house, you can actually, the house in the biggest place, you can rent. I know that it's for rent, you know, because I go there on your holiday, just watch out what's in the pool. Luca Guadagnino works with Tilda Swinton quite a lot. He's a young Italian director. I say young, I mean, he's not that young, but he's been around a while. He's very stylish. He's very kind of, he kind of works on the cracks, and he does work with Tilda Swinton a lot. He did a film with her in London called The Protagonist. He just went up to her one day, I think when he was a film student, and she was visiting before with Orlando to the Rome Film Festival, and he sort of said, I want to work with you. And she went, yeah, all right. And he said, oh, okay. So he had to come up with a short very quickly to work with Tilda Swinton. So they've remained friends all the time. And she's very collaborative like this. I mean, he's told me, the director, that the original script, she wasn't mute. She kind of went, Luca, I think it'd be a great idea if I just didn't speak. And he's like, yeah, I don't quite know how the finances would be about that. But actually, she carries it off. It's a stroke of genius that works and carries the film. So he's very collaborative. Like, I love he has a great sense of style, but it's not just about the style. It's about the substance under that style and that substance crumbling away, as it was in I Am Love.
The Italian filmmaker set in Italy, but at the Venice Film Festival, a lot of the audience booed. Why?
Yeah, you know what? I think they just come back from holiday and were really upset to go back to work. I feel that. I don't understand why, because I was, as soon as I saw it, which wasn't, I saw it later, I was like, I want to go on holiday. So that's the problem with Venice. Everyone's just off the beach and then they're suddenly back at work and it's like, oh, I want to be there. So I guess it was like, Italians, it was also by an Italian filmmaker who is, he's not kind of part of the Matteo Garrone, that current kind of swell of Italian filmmakers that you're seeing with Paolo Sorrentino, he feels very different. I mean, it's an Italian film, but it's mostly in English, you know, and it's got an American star, Dakota Johnson. So the Italians are a bit like, well, we're not good enough for you. What's wrong with Italy? You don't want to make an Italian film, so don't, you know. So I think that there's a kind of jealousy that is involved sometimes with movies like that. And also, as you mentioned, it's a remake of a French classic, Alain Delon, Romy Schneider in 1969's La Piscine. And it's not really like that at all. So it's not what people expecting, and I like a filmmaker who frustrates your expectations, and he certainly does that, but I think he does it beautifully and brilliantly in A Bigger Splash.
Well, A Bigger Splash is out today in the UK and will roll out in European and Australian cinemas over the next 2 months. If you are in the US of A, you're going to have to wait until May. Now, prepare your best blue steel as Ben Stiller and Owen Wilson revive their characters as Derek and Hansel in Zoolander 2. The lead up to this over-the-top fashion comedy sequel has been, well, pretty over-the-top so far. Jason, does the film live up to the hype?
I'm not sure it can live up to the hype, because the hype is that it's Zoolander 2. Right? So if you love Zoolander 1, your excitement is that, oh, there's going to be more Zoolander after 15 years. These characters are back. So, you know, if you haven't seen Zoolander 1, you kind of won't know what's going on, because it kind of goes back to doing the old hits, you know. It kind of does.
But they had gimmicks, like both Stiller and Wilson were on the Milan catwalks.
Yeah.
It's all about models.
It's all about the gimmick, really. It's all about let's watch the premiere. Let's who's going to be. Is Gigi Hadid going to turn up at the premiere? It's all of that. The fashion of it is about the kind of the catwalks and the premieres in Leicester Square and the big selfie. You know, it's about that. The film itself is rubbish. I'm sorry. The first one, you know, the first one is funny. I like it. It ain't genius by any stretch. It's funny, but it's sketchy, you know, and it's kind of enlivened enormously by Will Ferrell's Mugatu. But at least it has a funny story that's going on there. This one, we've got Zoolander 2, we got Owen, we got Ben, Will's coming back. Maybe we'll get Penelope Cruz in. Lovely, that's great. We need a story. So they throw a whole load of story at it that makes no sense whatsoever. Whereas in the first one, actually, there was a storyline because it was organically you know, process. But this one is flung together like a sort of collection of fashion houses, all kind of like, let's borrow this one from this one. And there's Valentino pops up, and Anna Wintour, who is, let me tell you, Anna Wintour, I know you've kind of run the rule over many people in your time. Anna Wintour, you are a terrible actress. Thank you.
Well, Jason, we are going to have a little listen to a clip from Zoolander 2 now.
He was once the world's most famous male model. Even his looks were household names. La Tigre, Magnum, and of course, Blue Steel. But that was a long, long, long time ago.
Old LeMay?
A clip from Zoolander 2. Now, you are not unique in not loving this film, but it is predicted to earn millions at the box office.
Well, you know, if you want to see Zoolander 2, go and see Zoolander. I'm not going to put you off it because you're still going to enjoy it. Look, I'll give you, you know, a poster quote. It's better than Sex and the City 2, you know? But, you know, but people who wanted to see more Sex and the City had to go and see Sex and the City. I like Zoolander. I like the character. As that clip says, it's about them kind of being out of fashion. I mean, he's left the catwalker now, Eric Zoolander, and he's gone to live as a hermit crab, as he says it, in extreme northern New Jersey in a kind of ski lodge, and kind of comes back incognito. But it all becomes completely like ridiculous, really, not rather than good looking. There's Justin Bieber in it for a bit. There's cameos galore. You just spend your time kind of counting the cameos and thinking, did I just spot Kate Moss? Was that one shot? Is that Sting? It is Sting. So you spend your time distracted by that. It's fun in that respect, but it's not funny.
Well, if you are in the mood for a lot of ridiculousness, go see Zoolander 2, which is rolling out in cinemas worldwide. And so we end today's show. Thank you to my guest, Jason Solomons. You've been listening to the Monocle Arts Review with me, Gillian Devias. The show was produced by Holly Fisher. We'll be back at the same time on Monday to look ahead to the week in art. But for now, goodbye and thanks for listening.